Good morning, everybody. several notices. Firstly, the new handbooks are now available, and please take your copy from the back of the church, and Linda will be around to talk about that if you need more information. Elders' elections, we're now in the process of electing elders for 6 vacancies, and please vote. The voting deadline is February the 23rd, but please don't leave it until the last minute, and think about it, pray about it, and make your selection and put them in the box at the marked elders' elections at the back of the church. The Bible studies start this week on Wednesday. There are 2 sessions available. The first one is from 2 o'clock until 3:30 on Wednesday afternoon, and the second session is 7:30 to 9 on Wednesday evening. That's Bible studies starting this week on Wednesday. Last and not least, the KURC All Age New Year Party is going to take place next Saturday at 3 o'clock, Saturday the 8th of February at 3 o'clock. I think, judging by previous occasions, that will be a very enjoyable occasion. Please make a diary note. Next Saturday, 3 o'clock here. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. Hear these words from the psalmist. Protect me, O God, I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my God. We join to sing, As the Deer Pants for the Water. We say the psalm. Lord, who may enter your temple? Who may worship on Zion, your sacred hill? Those who obey God in everything and always do what is right, whose words are true and sincere, and who do not slander others. They do no wrong to their friends, nor spread rumors about their neighbors. They despise those whom God rejects, but honor those who obey the Lord. They always do what they promise, no matter how much it may cost. They make loans without charging interest and cannot be bribed to testify against the innocent. Whoever does these things will always be secure. Please be seated. And we'll join together to pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, gentle and compassionate, if we are not strong in you, then we are weak. If we do not need you, then we are poor. Thank you that you are the one who receives our praise and fills our lives, for you are our everything. We celebrate and adore you, God of all the world, for sending Jesus to show us the way of true wisdom, to demonstrate for us what real strength looks like, and to give the most precious gifts of forgiveness, acceptance, worth, and love. Forgive us when we become obsessed with looking at this world, which you have created, through the lens of the standards of this world, rather than the lens of your ways, Jesus. Forgive us when we mistake having everything for being strong, when we regard needing as being weak, when we want to be rich in the things of the earth. Grant us the wisdom of a baby born in a stable. Grant us the values of somebody who dies on a cross, that we will know the blessing that brings life eternal and love that never lasts, that ever lasts. Thank you. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
You get to come and sit out the front. I've got something to show you. Come on. Do you want to come and keep them company? Come and keep them company. Right. Oh. Oh, it's all right. It seems a bit crowded now. I want to show you something that's very special to me. You might think it's a bit odd that I like it so much, but I'll tell you why in a minute. That is 13 years old, and it's the first picture that my granddaughter painted. I suppose I shouldn't call it a picture, really. It looks like just a lot of blobs, doesn't it? But it's very special, and I've kept it all that time. It's not worth a lot of money. Nobody's going to hang it up in the National Gallery in London for lots of people to go and look at it. But those were the first splodges with a paintbrush that she did it. And it's very special to me, although Emma was very small at the time, not rich or famous. And Jesus said some things about people like that. Then I've got one more thing to show you. Something you can buy in the shops very easily. Can you guess what it is? Might be sugar. Candle? No, it's not a candle. It might be salt. I wonder if somebody would like to put their finger in, have a little, don't take too much. Tell me what it is. Going to be brave? What do you reckon? Doesn't taste like anything. Perhaps you didn't have enough. It is salt, yes, definitely. And salt is something very amazing. It's the sort of thing we have in the cupboard, probably in most houses. But it can do all sorts of things. It can make food taste very much better. Although, of course, I have to say, too much isn't good for you. It can melt ice and snow if you've got a slippery path and make it safer to walk on. And I know of something else salt can do. And I was going to do it as an experiment here. And I thought, I know my luck. It won't work. We shall drop it or something. So we're going to do it. It involves an egg, water, and salt. Could get messy. So we're going to do it out in the hall when we go out. But if any of the grown-ups are interested, we could always do it for you again if you want to come out to the hall at the end of the service. So we're going to talk about things which are small, perhaps rubbish almost, but Jesus said everybody is important.
Thank you, Steve. We'll join to sing I Love the Sun. So we're in a season of looking at 1 Corinthians. How can something that seems utterly foolish to those who are wise by the world's standards be a message of salvation? And Paul contrasts the wisdom of this corrupt world with the wisdom of God. Martin Verge will read this passage to us.
So we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 18. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost. But for us who are being saved, it is God's power. The scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the understanding of the scholars. So then, where does that leave the wise, or the scholars, or the skillful debaters of this world. God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. For God, in his wisdom, made it impossible for people to know him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, by means of the so-called foolish message we preach, God decided to save those who believe. Jews want miracles for proof, and Greeks looked for wisdom. As for us, we proclaim the crucified Christ, a message that is offensive to the Jews and nonsense to the Gentiles. But for those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, this message is Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For what seems to be God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and what seems to be God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Now, remember what you were, my brothers and sisters, when God called you. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise, and he chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. He chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. This means that no one can boast in God's presence. But God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. Amen.
In the life of Jesus, who died aged 33, was the 30 years that we think of as the silent years, was that time wasted? Did Jesus make a mistake when he called those particular people to be his disciples? Did Jesus expect to die on a cross, or was that an error? And what does the cross mean anyway? There is more than one way of looking at something, and the way of Jesus is a different way of looking at something. The social humility of the early church should be an eye-opener and a game-changer for every single one of us. Who is useful in a church? I understand that there are forms to fill in and cash to flow, but relying on good structure, making a church attractive to one certain social group, and the avoidance of risk-taking as the foundation of church life is deadly. It's deadly for the church, it's deadly for the rest of life too. Who is the right person to ask for help? Who is going to deliver? Who do you think is going to deliver? We have to confess that we all have our prejudices, and in that moment, we limit the options. And God does not see as we do. Is prayer a waste of time? What's going on? Does it work? How does it work? Why does it matter? You're sitting by yourself, thinking about the big stuff, quietly reflecting on God with ancient texts somewhere around, maybe. What difference does that make? God does not see as we do. What about you? You're old. You're young. Your body doesn't do all you want it to do. Whether it's your memory, your weight, issues about conception or attraction or illness. How do you deal with your view of yourself? In a society where youth is everything and suffering is always somebody else's fault, and if you just investigated it, you could find out who they were and then you could take them through the courts. How is it to be viewed as a follower of Jesus? To be a Christian is to allow for inner transformation. A confidence not in ourselves, but a confidence in ourselves as loved by God. It's not about how rich we are. It's not about how youthful we are. It's not about physically strong we are. It's not about how much stuff we've got. It's about the fact that God loves us. That's what matters. And it's not that if we got the how-to book and if we read it, we could answer them when they come at us and accuse us of believing all sorts of nonsense. It's not how it is. We can have peace when we hold on to the fundamental truth that God loves us, regardless of what is going on round about us, to hold on to that truth in the middle of the storm, and to know that we are followers of Jesus because we are worth it. And it's not about any old nonsense, but it's about God who calls us. And you know that shameful stuff that we do? God knows that and still loves us. That doesn't mean that that stuff is okay. It's not okay. It needs to stop or start. But God loves us completely, dies for us, rose for us, offers new life to us. The society that we may live in may well think of each one of us as a bit of a loser. And friends, if you haven't discovered what it's like to be in a group where people think of you as a bit of a loser, there is a trainer coming. And if things go well for all of us and we grow into our old age, and people will look at us and think that we are worthless bed blockers when we are in hospital, or sponges on social care when we are ill. We need to soak in the view that God loves us, and that is transformational. So that when somebody is prejudiced against us because of our colour or our lack of ability with English, or when somebody is rude about us because we are out of work, or because we don't understand something and they do, to have that confidence that recognises, yes, it's true, we don't know everything, but we know our value and our worth. So when we come to the bread and wine, not just memorial certainly, but not only memorial, bread, ordinary stuff, wine, the grape juice, ordinary again. That we don't just look at them on the outside, we take them into ourselves as we take the spirit into ourselves that affects and affects the cells that are ours and is part of the transformation that God would come and live and die and teach and rise. Because however anybody else views us, God loves us. So let us pray. God of goodness and God of wisdom, we pray for those who are struggling to know their value. Those who are surrounded by people who hold different values to you, Lord Jesus. Those who are being encouraged to take moral shortcuts in their work. Those who are being encouraged to laugh at others. And to find value in material possessions and social standing and the disrespect of another. And we know that you give positions of power and responsibility to people. So we pray for those who have power and responsibility that this would not corrupt them. That they would not be led to seek for popularity before integrity. And in this week of change, we pray for the leaders of this country. For the leaders of the EU. That your wisdom and your guidance will be known and acted on. And we pray for those people that have asked us to pray for them and those people whose story and situation has touched our hearts and our minds. And we pray for ourselves and for one another. That we would seek the values of your kingdom even when it makes us different. Lord, grant us courage, grant us peace, and grant us your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Oh, and if anybody wants the... contactless machine... So let us pray. The minutes are yours. The hours, the months, the years are yours. The money is yours. The bread, the wine are yours. Receive the gifts we offer. Receive also what we keep for ourselves, that all of it would be part of the work of your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. We join to sing, "An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare," 438. As we are, let us pray. Lord, we do not come to you parading our own goodness or asking you to recognize the service that we have done. We come with Jesus. We come unashamed and confident as children of a loving Father. Amen. Please be seated. We come to this table not because of our own goodness or because in some way we've signed up to something that makes us worthy. This is the Lord's table, and every single one of us is a guest here. Nobody has a ticket. The elders will serve you. When you get the bread, have a moment, pick it up, eat it. If you've got issues with wheat and gluten, it's provision. When you get the wine, which has got no alcohol in it, because some of us do have issues with alcohol, when you get the wine, would you hold it? And then we will all drink together. and hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded for us by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as Jesus took bread and wine, we take bread and wine. And as Jesus gave thanks, we give thanks. Let us pray. Thank you for all your confounding of human wisdom by the choices that you make. Coming to the humble to make them great, and to the great to make them humble. Setting your mark of mercy, grace, and holiness on whoever you will, and enlarging our horizons, deepening our insights, and extending our love through the compulsion of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gospel brought through the Jews in the one who remained your choice. And though we rejected him, he is now risen and reigning. Thank you that you would open our eyes to encounter you in the small and insignificant, even bread, even wine, even the people sitting around us, even ourselves. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Took bread, blessed, broken. "This is my body," he said. "It is broken for you." He took wine, poured out, a symbol of blood that would be shed. "This is my blood," he said. "It is shed for you." The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. grace-filled and knowing. May your spirit of wisdom blow strong and persistent, overturning the established ways of the world, forging new channels of being, and filling the gaps left by the earthly wise. May your spirit flow through lives and communities and nations, upending the self-focused wisdom which turns away from justice, denying life for others, and diminishing life for self. May your spirit rage where hearts are hardened. And may this meal remind us of your eternal truth and our eternal value. Lord, we are in awe of you. Amen. We join to sing, Be Thou My Vision, 489. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God this day and forevermore. Amen.